It may be a day late, but it's better than resorting to Plan B. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Koshcast. It's been a weekend of violence. In Spain, Real lost El Clasico, and Madridistas thought punching Bale's car would help. Anfield, meanwhile, turned into a stamp collector's dream as Gerrard and Skrtel racked them up. There's the rest of the Premiership to round up. Hull scare Chelsea, Newcastle scare Arsenal, and Tottenham scare themselves. And we'll also look forward to the Champions League quarterfinals. Let's get cracking! Welcome back to the Koshcast. We are a day late, and I apologise for that, but we had two very good reasons. One of them was El Clasico, which we wanted to, you know, let finish before we started. And the other one is that Bernie was in North Dakota. Bernie, what the hell were you doing in North Dakota?
Sorry, I'm just eating my ice cream.
Yeah, Bernie's just enjoying
his ice cream there. Some special North Dakotan ice cream.
No, this was from Maya's fridge. But North Dakota was a lot of fun.
Seriously?
All right. Are you done with that?
Okay.
But so Bernie's good. Mohamed, how are you?
I'm great, man. I enjoyed a huge weekend of football, and you can't ask for more than that.
Lovely. Rochelle?
Possibly the best Sunday I've had all year and all of the last decade.
Best Sunday of the decade. When they talk about Super Sunday, is that what they're talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, you don't get a United-Liverpool game and a Real Madrid-Barcelona game on the same day.
That's
both
true.
Results going your way.
That's true.
That's true.
They went your way? Barcelona?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew they were going to win, yeah. I think I predicted that score,
that's not your
right?
Way. Ronaldo's army.
He got his goal, too.
That's the thing.
Oh, then he got three for three.
So let us start with El Clasico. It's arguable which game is the bigger game, but just because of the position in the league, El Clasico must be slightly more important, just in practicalities terms. I was looking forward to this game a lot. I always look forward to El Clasico every calendar year, just the two games. Bernie's still eating his ice cream.
No, I'm done.
Okay. No, now he's cleaning his glasses.
Again, these games get hyped up so much, and usually, yes, they don't live up to expectations. But it was both attacking, not a lot of defending happening, to be honest. Game ended 2-1 to Barcelona. A lot of talking points. I mean, you guys want to take us through? The first fact was that 450 million people tuned into this game, which is an incredible number.
What does the Super Bowl get?
Almost a billion.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
But that, Huh. But that's a final of a huge game.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
half
yeah.
Those people are just there to watch the ads.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That's what Kate Upton will do.
Oh, that video game thing?
Yeah.
Like, I see that all the time, and I haven't downloaded it.
I know.
I think I should.
Sure. Anyway, tangent.
Great. That's all good. Matthias scored the first goal.
Yeah, from an unlikely source of the first goal.
Very English goal, huh?
Very, very surprising. Yeah, surprising to see Barcelona score off a set piece and then celebrate with such glory at the end of it.
You know, they were up against it for. I restricted myself from saying under the, you know what.
Yeah,
they were up against it, and then you know Sam Allardyce could have done what they did. You know,
right.
But Mohamed, you picked up on a cute moment. I think was it between Neymar and Messi?
Yeah, Neymar and Messi were both ready to take the free kick that led to that goal, and it was both them standing on the ball. Messi eventually took it, and. You know, there's a Messi cam apparently at every Barca game, and all we see is like after the goal goes in, Messi and Neymar kind of just like jump on each other, just give each other like this biggest bear hug ever, and it makes you wonder if Bale and Ronaldo were standing on that free kick and Ronaldo crossed it in and Ramos headed it in. I don't think you'd see that same kind
I
of.
Think Ronaldo's, Ronaldo's like, don't touch me.
Yeah,
he'd be pointing at his own chest, and Bale would just be walking away from him.
Yeah. Like, don't touch his eyebrows. I just got them done.
I think Bale might like go towards him to try and give him a hug,
right.
But Ronaldo would have already like turned and done something.
And
else.
That don't touch me celebration is probably at.
Yeah,
calm down. It's like Bale, calm down. But Matthias scored that goal, and then from then on, really, Real Madrid got a grip on the game. They were playing much better. Benzema, again, was the best Real Madrid player. He was incredible. Unplayable, almost, up front. Holding the ball really well. Just a great outlet for the Madrid team. And I like him. I like him a lot. I think he's a great player.
I don't think that at the moment you can point to anyone else and say there is a more complete striker than Benzema right now. The guy can do everything. He's got pace. He can finish. He holds up the ball like a target man, even though he isn't really built like one. He's just extremely
and he's
impressive.
Very low key, like in the press and the media, and like he doesn't have that factor. Which,
absolutely,
like,
he's been
has.
At Real Madrid since 2009, I think, or 2008. It's been a number of years since he's been at that team, and you've never, you always think he's a new guy.
Right.
I have a feeling Zlatan would probably have a problem with what you just said.
Zlatan's too old now.
He'd have a problem with anything, to be fair. <That's awesome>. Anything anti-Zlatan.
Guys, right? We might be in his next book if we're not careful. So.
Man, I mean, the hits would go through the roof.
That's so. True. Yeah. So yeah, Benzema did his best to kind of bring Real Madrid into the game. God knows Bale wasn't doing it. So his assist, I mean, the whole Real Madrid goal was a great team goal.
Yeah.
Ended with a Modric to Benzema pass. One touch, back heel flick to Ronaldo. Mm. Was just sublime. Ronaldo's finish was also really good.
It was more of a Barcelona goal than mm-hmm. a Real Madrid goal. And the set piece was more of a, well, maybe Atletico goal.
But yeah. But if you had to pick, yes, it would be the other way around. Yeah, right? Yeah. And Ronaldo finishing that and then doing the whole calma yeah, celebration.
To be fair, there was one team that created more goal-scoring opportunities. I think Madrid, they hit the crossbar early on. And
Ronaldo
Barca scored against the run of play.
True.
Both their goals were actually against the run of play.
Real right, also had the goal disallowed.
The goal disallowed.
Which was a very close yeah. decision.
Very close, but the right decision to yeah. make. Yeah. And a lot of saves were made by...
Bravo,
yes.
Claudio Bravo. One of them. I don't remember what exactly, but one save, I think it was Benzema... One save, Bravo, when it like took a deflection off a Benzema shot and yes. he had to change direction, it was a brilliant.
There was the one from Ronaldo from the long distance strike. Mm. And when I saw it at first, I thought, oh, it went over the bar. Then I saw it, I was like, oh my God, Bravo yeah. got a fingertip to that. That would have been an absolute rocket of a goal.
True.
And
true.
He was on form.
Is Luis Enrique rotating based on the competition?
Yes.
The goalkeeper, yeah. so it's Ter Stegen.
It's a policy.
League.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So after that, that was a 1-1. Real Madrid still, again, with the upper hand at the Nou Camp. And then just, I mean, this is, I guess, why you buy these players. Alves, brilliant ball over the top. Long ball, again, not a very Barcelona goal. But I guess that's why when you have Suarez in the team, that's the kind of plan B. Exactly. And the first touch with the outside of the foot was, like, when we were watching it live, I was just like, this ball cannot be this close to your foot after that touch. Like, it has to go further. But it was... magnificent. The finish was great. For once, Casillas wasn't at fault for the goal.
It was a bit reminiscent of the one he scored for Liverpool against Newcastle, where the ball came across his shoulder. He brought it down and went around Krul,
yep.
except this time he didn't go around him. He just played it one time. But he has that ball control, which is magnificent. And
that's
it's
true.
A very good weapon to have.
Brilliant first touch. But on that goal was very similar to when Zlatan was at Barcelona. It was a Champions League tie against Arsenal
yep.
at
yep.
the Emirates Stadium. Xavi long ball over the top, Zlatan finish. Very similar goal.
I think the similarity between those goals and something that you see with Suarez often, and what impresses me most, is that you watch Suarez on that goal, he doesn't care about the defenders. They're
right.
not even in his mind. His thoughts are about the ball and the finish, and that's it. And whether other players would be kind of mentally held up by where's the defender, where am I in relation
mm-hmm.
to them,
mm-hmm.
how am I holding them off, doesn't care.
Right.
Just gets on with it.
I mean, that MSN top three, I think Suarez... I mean, he probably had the better game out of the three. Messi was subdued quite well by Real Madrid, to be honest. I mean, he wasn't trying the hardest either, but they did a good job to kind of keep him quiet. Neymar had a lot of chances after the 2-1, because at 2-1, Barca regained the full control of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Neymar should have had at least three more goals. I mean, he missed
yeah.
quite a bit.
He got rightly subbed off after missing, I think, 2 point blank opportunities.
Yeah.
I think the good thing about having the MSN... I don't know why.
Why are we calling it MSN?
I'm sorry. I've heard it a lot these last
it's not
2 weeks.
What's wrong?
It's in my brain.
That's Messi, Neymar, Suarez. Oh, no. Messi, Suarez,
yeah,
Neymar.
Yeah. I mean, this is MSN versus BBC. But anyway, I hate all of that stuff. Thank God the SAS is gone. But in any case, the thing that's important is, I remember last season when Messi was, quote unquote, struggling. Neymar was still good, but not
yeah.
really taking over the mantle when he was in those moments. So having... Luis Suarez is, I mean, the guy's a fantastic player, but at the same time, if Neymar's having a bad day,
yeah.
Messi's having a bad day, then you have the third option.
It's tough
Suarez.
For all three to have a bad day.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's a brilliant outlet to have.
That's true. I think we had a couple of talking points just to wrap up the game. First was, I have to say, I really love the whole 12th man mural thing, mosaic, as Bernie likes to call it, that the Barca fans did with the 12th man. And it just looked fantastic. The Nou Camp looked amazing.
It
sounded amazing. Like, me and Richie were watching it together, and it was a sight.
Yeah,
you know,
they stepped up their interior design game, for sure.
yeah.
Stadium packed to the rafters, but, like, the volume, the sheer size of the stadium, when you're seeing it from the pitch up, is
yeah,
incredible.
That's true. I think the point we want to talk about just was Bale, in general, not in this game. I mean, this game, it's highlighted again, because I think he had, like, 7 passes in the second half or so. It was a pretty bad game from a stats point of view. But in general, he's been getting... We talked about this last week. He's been getting a lot of stick from the fans. At the end of the game on his way out, the Real Madrid fans were like kicking and punching his car and tapping it on the windshield and all that. So, I mean, do you think he's going to stay? And if not, where would he go?
I think he'll stay because he feels like he has a point to prove. And I think ultimately in the end, he'll prove that point. But I think in the short term, Ancelotti needs to take him out the firing line. Maybe put Isco up front a little bit, take his position, get, and then bring him back, and then he'll have, you know, he'll have that feeling of redemption.
Right.
And he'll play better. Because right now, whatever it is, it's not working. His head isn't in the game. He's fading out of games too easily. He's letting all this stuff get to him. I think he needs to be taken out the firing line.
I mean, I would agree. I think you can see very clearly that his confidence is down, that it's affecting his game. There are opportunities where earlier in the season, or especially last season, he would have taken a shot and taken it on himself, and he should still be doing it, but he's laying the ball off because he's fearful of the reaction he's going to get, which is ridiculous for a player of his quality. He shouldn't be needing to do that. Will he stay? Yeah, I think so.
Well, the thing is, I think Real Madrid's plan is that he would replace Ronaldo as that guy.
Ultimately.
So
yeah.
Basically, if they lose him now and they lose Ronaldo in a year or two, then they gotta kind of start over.
Yeah,
right?
Which is one of many reasons why I don't think Bale's actually
right.
good.
But
it's
very
hard
a convenient
to see,
story.
It's very hard to see Bale replacing Ronaldo. He's a completely different type of player.
Well, no one can replace Ronaldo, to be honest. Like, I mean, just those stats alone are insane.
And to add to Roche's point, the problem I think Real Madrid are having is I don't think they expected Ronaldo. I mean, 2015 has been a little bit up and down for him, but I don't think they expected Ronaldo to be playing at this level for
the
last two seasons. I think they expected to see a dip. In fact, up until 2015, he was going up and up and up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Bale's probably promised that you're going to be Ronaldo's replacement, you know,
yeah.
give it 2 years or so. Those 2 years are almost up, and he's still nowhere near Cristiano Ronaldo.
If I see Bale going anywhere, to be honest, United looks like a reasonable place to go. They have the money. Bale would love to come back to England. I don't see it as too far-fetched.
I don't think he would love to come back, though. I mean, if he absolutely has to, he'll do it. But he spoke long about Real Madrid being, you know, the club of his dream,
right.
which is a cliche, but in this case was actually true. And he's been there for a year and a half. His first year, as I've said many times, his first year was brilliant.
It was exceptional. It was a great
first
year. You exceeded expectations.
He's been doing very well for a lot longer than he's been doing poorly.
And
this
let's
is no
not,
time to quit.
Let's also not forget that Bale has scored the winner in the Copa del Rey final against Barcelona.
And the Champions League final.
Was it the go-ahead goal?
It was
the go-ahead goal.
Yeah.
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 And if he goes, if he leaves now, he leaves a failure.
Yeah,
that's just, and I don't think he wants to leave on those terms.
No.
All right, guys, good talk there. Let's move on to our Momo of the Week.
All right.
Momo
of the Week.
We start Momo of the Week this time by talking about dinosaurs, not something we've ever talked about before, but in this case, it's appropriate, because we're talking about UEFA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Fortunately, not Platini this time. He's avoided the limelight.
Right.
But Secretary General Gianni Infantino has decided that video technology is still
archaic.
Yeah, well, no. He's archaic.
Well, I just tried to fill in with the dinosaur stuff.
He
okay.
thinks it's
Uefasaurus.
Jurassic, yeah.
Uefasaurus.
Oh, very nice. That's a type of dinosaur.
Uefasaurus.
Is that kind of like a raptor?
I don't know. I think it's like an ugly old man, to be honest.
Okay.
Who can't use a remote control.
Fair enough. Uefasaurus, I like it. But Gianni Infantino has said that you would not have mistaken identity in football, which is something that's becoming more of a theme, with additional assistant referees.
Oh.
So he just thinks more human eyes are the solution to,
human error
yes.
is the solution
yeah.
to human error.
Yeah.
I think there was a mistaken identity when they hired him, thinking
Probably.
He was a smart guy.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
They're like, oh shit, we've hired a dinosaur.
Nice.
We didn't know.
He's got a bald head, so he looks like that one dinosaur.
Which?
Oh, yeah, dinosaur's egg. Either way.
I'm not sure any dinosaur had hair, for that matter, to be honest.
Oh, true.
Whatever.
It's probably scales. Anyways, guys, this is a very dinosaur-y segment.
Yeah.
Let's keep it in Italy. We've got one more Momo, Bernie.
We do. Roberto Mancini with a dinosaur's opinion on immigration. But Mancini believes that only real Italians, whatever that means, should represent Italy. So his idea is your parents should be born in either Sicily or Rome or Florence or one of those
places in Italy, by the way.
Exactly, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
And he believes that even if maybe you have a relative or something, so a cousin or a mother, in
Ferrari's
case or Vasquez's case, you know, that you don't qualify as Italian. I just find that ridiculous because, I don't know, if my mom was Italian, maybe I'd want to play for Italy. Or what about my dad's country? who should I play for? Should I not play for anyone? Do I not qualify?
Right, you're in no man's land.
What about Diego Costa? Can he play for whoever he wants to play for? Yeah, but Mohamed doesn't have citizenship yet in Canada. But if he does, can he play for Canada? Mancini wouldn't think so. But now he can play for Egypt.
I mean, you know me. I do everything after consulting Mancini anyways.
Exactly.
Well, so yeah. He doesn't. But the answer to the Mohamed question is no, because Bruce Grobbelaar told us that they're not scouting locally.
This is true. Yeah. But then would he be allowed to play for Egypt since, you know, he obviously has a passport for someone else? They wouldn't really like that, would they?
No, they wouldn't like it very much. Yeah. I mean, you tell us.
But. All right, I'll find out and let you guys know.
Okay.
Absolutely. All yours.
Good luck with that application, by the way.
All right, so 450 million was the Clásico, but apparently 750 million was Liverpool United, which is a fantastic figure.
England!
What a great advert for the Premier League.
England. You have a cough, mate?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so Alex was just being patriotic over there. I mean, not the biggest game in terms of what's happening in the league. Yes, sure, it's a fight for fourth. But it's always a big occasion. Yeah. Liverpool and United are the biggest rivals in the Premier League. I mean, it's not even a local rivalry, but it's such a historic rivalry.
Fairly, yeah. I mean, they're an hour down the road.
England likes their tradition and stuff, and these are the two most accomplished teams. They say that every year. They're going to say that for the next 20, 30 years as well.
Yeah.
You know, unless someone else comes in, like City or Chelsea.
Yeah.
But yes, this was the game of the most successful English teams, and I think there was a lot of at stake. 2 points. A Champions League place.
Yeah. So now, yeah. I mean, the game ended with United winning Liverpool Stadium called? Anfield. I forgot. I just totally blanked out. United won 2-1 at Anfield. So that takes them now 5 points away from Liverpool. So United are in fourth.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good cushion.
It's a good gap. The thing is that a lot of those teams in the top four or five have to play each other. So things could very easily change.
Absolutely.
I mean, Arsenal have Liverpool after the international break. But yeah, really, really good win for United. Really needed to. Bernie Rocher, what were your thoughts on the game?
I personally had a good feeling going into this weekend. I know that everyone was saying, hey, you're playing at Anfield. You know, your record
is... Liverpool in good form.
They're in good form. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, you know, we're also clicking. I know we lost to Swansea recently. But the team was playing well. So the football was good. It's just that the finishing was off.
It's a good follow-up from the Tottenham game. So just to show it's not a one-off.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And then the finishing in this game was exquisite. I don't think that I could have scored those goals, and I'm not.
Oh,
you know,
is that how you rate every goal?
My finishing is quite good.
Bernie, you okay there?
I almost had a heart attack.
Your ice cream coming back up?
Yeah, just a little bit. But, I mean, we'll stay on focus on the game and not my ice cream. The fact of the matter is, it was a fantastic match. I think one of the best games this season that we've seen, both teams going at it. But what was really, really interesting to me in this game was. Obviously, United are coming into Anfield. They have to put their stamp on things, but Liverpool did that twice, and they still lost by 2-1. So that was fantastic to me.
Right. No, I mean, United's first half was a complete continuation from their performance against Tottenham. It was just business as usual from the last game. Played a fantastic 45 minutes. Mata, again, was brilliant.
Herrera,
Carrick, and Mata were fantastic. And again... United played a possession game, not a running game, not a Valencia run as far as you can and a Di Maria run as far as you can, and it worked. And first 45 minutes, it was 1-0, I think, at halftime. Is that correct?
It was 1-0. Yes. It was 1-0 at halftime after Ander Herrera's sumptuous pass for Mata, and on his weaker foot, that finish.
To be honest,
fantastic.
That's a
very
that was a 9 out of 10 kind of finish. Like, I mean, 1 out of 10 times that happens, 9 out of 10 he misses. Not because of anything, but it was a brilliant finish with his right.
Everything was brilliant. The Fellaini layoff to Herrera in space, acres of space, the through ball through the heart of the Liverpool defense in front of the cop finishing line.
That's another guy who had a brilliant, brilliant match, Fellaini. And he's coming up good in the big games. And one thing someone was talking about is United played a pressing game against Liverpool.
Yeah.
They played Liverpool's pressing game against them, which was fantastic. And they played the possession game. So Brendan Rodgers got schooled at his own game. But the difference between United and Tottenham, who also play a pressing game, is when you press United, they have that option that you're talking about of, oh, we need to alleviate this pressure.
Fellaini.
You can get it to Fellaini,
yep.
He'll chest it, head it, bring it down, and you can start
that's,
it again.
Other teams
don't have that.
That's the mini plan B we talked about last week. It's not a full plan B, it's just, oh, Valencia stuck our right back, look up, just give it to Fellaini, start over.
Didn't we call it the Fellaini vacuum or something?
Yeah, it was something.
You just knock it up and he just sucks it into his chest.
So, well, this season we've been calling it the long ball United. But we see it reap its rewards in the last couple of weeks.
To give it a sort of basketball analogy, even though this is a football podcast, when you do when you do a full court press against a team, it's the same idea of that you're in their half and you're just pushing on them to give them a lot of, you know, it's that hardcore defense. Mm-hmm. And to break that, you play a long pass over everyone and skip it over to get to your big center. That's exactly what Fellaini reminds me of. It's just beautiful to see, and when you have someone like Michael Carrick who can play that pass.
Now Fellaini's gonna have a brilliant basketball career once he's done.
Absolutely.
So Carrick
is Steve Nash.
So we're at halftime, it's 1-0. Brendan Rodgers wants to change the game up a bit. Lallana's slightly injured, so what do? We bring on the legend, the living, breathing legend in Steven Gerrard. He knows these occasions. You know, he's good for the moment kind of thing. Bring him on.
Tons of experience. Yeah, I mean, to Manchester United.
He can change the game in like 30 seconds. Literally. That's the ability he has, and he showed it. He came on, 30 seconds, changed the game like that.
What a gift he has.
Brilliant.
What a gift.
Absolute star. I mean, Pele was at this stadium, and Pele got... just, he was a non-event because Steven Gerrard
stole the
just
show.
Went out with a bang.
Absolutely.
Roche, just describe that for us.
Well, Brendan Rodgers' substitutions definitely made an impact on the final result. We cannot take that away from him.
Brendan Rodgers actually... Sorry, go on.
Well, Gerrard comes on the pitch. He hits one beautiful long pass.
Yeah,
he runs over Juan Mata. Absolutely bulldozes him over.
He trampled him.
And then when Herrera slides by him, does not touch him, he just stomps on his leg. Just bang.
Yeah, it was weird. But guys, you gotta give credit to the ref. Could have easily bottled it and not given a red. Easily. Because it's at Anfield as well. I mean, he could have given a yellow. He could have said
it's his first foul.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
The intent was there. It was clear.
Oh, yeah.
And every time I look at it, it becomes more and more obvious. He just looked at Herrera come in to try and defend his Spanish brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just thought, you know what, you peasant, and just stomps him. It's unbelievable.
In front of the referee.
I don't understand it.
We've all agreed, off air, if I may call it that, we've all agreed that Gerrard came on with the instructions to kind of put his
presence,
his
stamp
presence
authority
in the game,
stamp
put his weight in the game,
the
show the Liverpool, get the Liverpool fans going, all that kind of stuff. And that's what he tried to do, but he overdid it. He just, from someone so experienced, it was really weird to see, to be honest.
I'm not sure it was necessarily instruction. I mean, his instruction would have been to get involved and certainly get stuck in, but I don't know whether his instruction would be to go out and do something like that. But Brendan Rodgers said at halftime that it was probably a result of Gerrard.
At halftime? Oh, this is MLS now.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, Gerrard was riled up from watching Liverpool in the first half and no one putting a tackle in.
Right.
Because apparently, I mean, I was unfortunately not able to see the game, but from what I've heard, United were just strolling through Liverpool in the first half.
Oh, let's not forget Daley Blind making Emre Can fall over.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the camera frame.
United has 62% possession in the first half.
Yeah.
That's disgusting against Liverpool.
So what happened was, it was 1-0, Gerrard got a red card, and then Luis Van Gaal, to be honest, he reacted quite positively. He brought on Di Maria right away when he saw that Liverpool were 10 men.
Well, Di Maria was kind of carrying a bit of an injury.
Yeah, yeah. But still, like, it was a positive change. He could have easily, you know, went a bit more negative. And then Di Maria sure didn't play the best of games, but he did assist Mata for the 2-0 to United.
Beautiful.
Mata with a beautiful sidekick.
Yeah.
He blogged about it, you know.
He was the happiest day of his life,
right.
in essence. But the 1-2 that they played was brilliant. The chip over was great. Slightly behind Juan Mata, he had to check his run. And just how he just contorted his body to do that. Just in a Liverpool game against Liverpool, those are the moments. He just had his Diego Forlán moment.
It happened
by
in slow motion. It happened in slow motion.
It felt like a slow motion.
I found myself watching forever as the ball just went into the net.
I mean, speaking of, yes, brilliant goals, but both goals were Moreno's fault. Both.
Yes.
The first goal, Moreno just left Mata completely gone. And then the second goal, like you said, it was a 1-2. Moreno was looking at Mata. Mata made the 1-2 Di Maria. Went right by him, and he just let him. He's like, he's ball watching. It was pretty bad for
Moreno. To be honest, Moreno is one of these left backs I just hate. He's
not
useless.
The defensive.
He's
yeah.
useless at defending.
Yeah.
But
I have to say that, like, I agree that Moreno is at fault, but equally, when you're playing a system with three centre backs, surely the one on the left, I mean, that's his space.
No,
that's his channel right there.
I mean, Bruce Grobler probably thought Sako didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, he loves him.
The last thing I want to say about this game, if we have time.
No, we're still going.
Is literally, I think Liverpool players have a problem with Spaniards. I mean, Gerrard stamped on Herrera and then Skrtel stamped on De Gea. what political party do they support?
I wonder. True, true. They're racist. All UKIP.
Except Brendan Rodgers loves signing a Spaniard. He's a bugger for a Spaniard.
Irish. Just like Arsene Wenger is a bugger for a Frenchman. Yeah.
Luis Alberto, where has he gone?
Yeah. Oh yeah, and Aquilani. Oh, he's
no,
not
he was
Spanish,
Italian.
Aspas.
Are we still gonna do the Spanish, Italian, French mix up?
Come si, come sa.
Oh, Fernando Torres.
Wow.
Yeah, the greatest Spaniard.
True. Anyways, there was also after that. So it was 2-1. United pretty much controlled the game after that. Nothing. What am I saying?
Came back into
Liverpool it. Scored.
Yeah.
Started with a very good first touch, very good finish. It did clip Jones's
heel,
not heel, cleats.
Sure.
Yeah. And then yes, you could see De Gea actually blaming him right the minute, because De Gea knew this is bad. This is in my.
He was like, "Bro, I don't get beat on my near post, bro."
Exactly. Exactly. So Sturridge, they came back. It was 2-1 for a while, but I think it petered out. United did really well to kind of just keep possession, not make the game get too hectic.
You missed a penalty at the end.
Yeah, Skrtel. Oh, yeah.
That's actually a brilliant save. It was a brilliant save.
Yeah.
I mean, Mata should have taken it, to be honest.
He should have taken it, and Rooney said that after the game, I should have given it to Mata, but it was too comfortable of a height for Mignolet.
Yeah.
I'm just more impressed by how Daley Blind messed up Chan twice, because he gave him the runaround in the first half, which I can't believe, and then for the penalty, same thing. And Daley Blind's just a fantastic football player, I really think.
He's technically very good, that's true. And then at the very end, we see Skrtel stamp on De Gea, literally last 5 seconds in the game. He's been charged by the FA with violent misconduct. He now has a 3-game ban. Yes, in the moment you can't help it, but you know, you've got Liverpool, you've got Arsenal next, you've got a couple of big games. If the ban
and you've got Gerrard on a straight red, so that's automatic 3 games.
Is Lovren injured or is he around?
Oh, I don't know. Probably dropped, eh?
I think Kolaturi will come in for him. I haven't seen Lovren.
Ooh, Kolaturi at the Emirates. That would be nice.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, I mean, a great game overall. I thought it was a brilliant game. I really enjoyed it. United are now 5 points out of Liverpool in fourth, 1 point away from Arsenal in third. Literally, it's 1-1-1 from fourth to third to second. Anyone can finish in those positions. It's
you know what? And the next three fixtures for United specifically are Chelsea, Everton
Villa first.
Aston Villa, then they have Chelsea, City, Chelsea, and Everton back to back. That's three big games.
Well, I mean, look, Tottenham and Liverpool were two of these games where it's like, oh, United are going to drop points. That's already 6 out of 6 for you guys. So you never know how it's going. Worst case, you beat Liverpool and Tottenham and you might not beat both Chelsea and City. It's still a great return.
The thing is that if United does beat Chelsea and Chelsea drops points somewhere else, then, you know, these teams are actually not that far away from Chelsea.
That's true.
Five or six points.
This
Premier
League
here, 3 points
so
there.
Weird.
This
I mean, you see how Arsenal are now 1 point behind Man City.
Yeah.
And Man City needed that win against West Brom.
Oh, big time. 3-0, I think.
Oh,
yeah, so it was a 3-0. It was a pretty routine City win, so they keep kind of away from the...
Boney opening his account.
Correct. Boney's first goal. It was a good finish. Tidy, like, finish. He didn't panic. He also got the penalty, to be fair. So he was quite influential. But Chelsea, like we said, very hairy encounter against Hull. Chelsea going 2-0 up, like
within
10 minutes
like,
in. We were like, game's over. Like, I don't even want to watch this anymore.
Beautiful goals.
Hazard.
Beautiful finishes from Hazard and Costa. I didn't expect that from Costa, to be honest. I didn't know he really had that in his locker.
You have to wonder if a whole team is letting Eden Hazard get a free strike from just outside. Like, what are you doing?
It's just easier said than done.
I have a question to answer your question.
Yeah.
What was Courtois doing?
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be the best goalie in the league. One of them.
He was trying to have a little dribble. I mean, he's probably bored out of his mind.
He's been watching too much Manuel Neuer. But who then watched Courtois?
To be fair, Courtois also made a triple save in the second half.
Oh,
yes,
that was
he made up for it.
But Hull came back from 2-0 down to bring it to 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then that triple save prevented it from 3-2.
Yeah.
Then Remy with that, I don't know, am I blaming the goalie or am I...
He will feel bad about that, to be honest. I don't remember.
McGregor?
McGregor. He will feel bad about that goal. But at the end, Chelsea's scrape away with their 3 points should have been much easier than it is. Ivanovic had a horrendous game. He played really bad.
Did you guys hear Steve Bruce's post-match interview?
No.
It was one of the saddest things I've ever heard. I mean, he's a sad-sounding guy to begin with, but when he was asked about that Courtois triple save, and he was just like, you know, you've got to take your chances. And we had 3 chances. And you've got to take
He was
those.
Depressed.
He's
he was
so
depressed.
Funny thing about Steve Bruce, his son, Alex Bruce, is out of contract at the end of the season, and they haven't agreed anything. how does this
you're play? At home, just agree at
like,
home.
My dad would be like, sign it. That's it. Done. I'll sign the paper. It
was strange family dinner. They
really strange.
That's true. Maybe it would be nice if his mom was his agent. Now get the
that
whole family in.
Yeah. Family business, mate.
So Newcastle, Arsenal. Arsenal needed the 3 points. They beat Newcastle 2-1 away. Again, everyone needs the 3 points every week.
Yeah.
So it was important. Giroud popping up with two great goals. Very un-Arsenal-like, but that's what Giroud kind of gives.
Set pieces?
Exactly. A corner and a set piece, I think, or something. Yeah,
yeah, corner, free kick, both Cazorla deliveries.
Yep.
Good
first,
crosses.
First half, Arsenal looked great. Good possession. The game was on the wraps. 2-0. Second half, the tiredness showed. The fitness. I think Arsenal had three away games in the last week of... big games, United,
yeah.
Monaco, and Newcastle.
It looked like they had lunch at halftime. Like, afterwards, they were just asleep.
That's true.
But that Monaco game took everything out of Arsenal.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
did. So I can understand that. And Newcastle, you know, they came back.
They played well.
They
yeah.
the Sissoko with a very, very good, very tidy finish
yeah.
To bring it to 2-1. But Arsenal just had to see the game out. This one of those games where you're just like, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Ospina with
absolutely.
A couple of very important saves.
Yeah. I think Arsenal did well to defend it, but Newcastle really should have taken a bigger advantage of Arsenal
mm-hmm.
in this match. I mean, you could see they were dead on their feet.
They were.
And if Newcastle had 45 minutes, basically uninterrupted, to try and create some more opportunities
not,
to score a goal.
Not the first time we've seen this from Arsenal in recent weeks,
no.
might I add. The Crystal Palace finish
yep.
with
yep.
the 94th minute.
A lot of very close
finishes. And the
95th
minute post hit.
No, yeah. Arsenal love a 2-1 at the moment.
What's
yeah.
going on with the fading in the games, guys?
It's a good question.
I think it's been a tough season.
It's been a very physically
draining
we
season.
See it in Sanchez. He's
yeah.
crawling at this point.
Basically, what Arsenal need to do is hire Pochettino as a fitness coach.
Yeah. Speaking of Pochettino, Tottenham beating the mighty Leicester 4-3 at home. I mean, and how you let in three goals from Leicester, I don't know. Kane with a hat-trick. Semi-hat-trick, 2.5 goals, I guess.
Why'd you say that?
One of them,
Man
we're not sure if he's going to get credited with or not.
To be honest,
he went ahead of Costa this week.
Oh.
And then, yeah, but and
yeah,
then
but
Costa came back.
It's
yeah.
another tie. And it's great for him because he just got his first England call-up,
yeah.
marked that with a hat-trick. Someone called it the most disgusting hat-trick they've ever seen because the goals were just kind of crap.
They were
but whatever.
Yeah.
A hat-trick
yeah.
for, how old is he? I don't know. Is he
21.
Yeah,
I would call him because of this call-up England's Rose, but England has a literal Rose now.
Danny Rose
got called up.
Who was in the team of the week, might I add.
Why? I saw that. It was in, I think it was either ESPN or
ESPN,
one of these websites had Danny Rose, and I thought to myself, he was pretty.
If it's not under
awful.
The cosh, it doesn't count, guys.
Yeah.
This is true.
Wow.
He would be in my team of the week.
If you're a left back in a team that conceded three goals, you shouldn't be in the team.
But
yeah.
to be fair, this was not a good week for left backs.
No.
It really wasn't.
Granted.
Danny Rose, Felipe Luis was crap.
Oh, Luis and Felipe was
however,
bad.
Alba
was a great
couldn't
week.
Finish. Marcelo was nonsense.
It was a great
just...
week for Daley Blind, however.
Ah.
That's my boy.
Oh, but in this game with Tottenham and Leicester, we saw a mark of relegation-ish. Ism. Relegationism from Leicester. With their defender
just made
scoring.
Up three words.
Yeah, yeah.
So now that we're past that barrier.
It's from
no,
the UEFA
source. Leicester's defender, I forgot what his name was, but I think it was Morgan. He scored a brilliant equalizer. He was so happy, celebrated with the fans, jumped in the crowd, everything.
Right.
Later on in the game, he scores the most peasant-like own goal I've ever seen. And that is the goal that Tottenham end up winning on.
Yeah,
it is
yeah.
the mark of a team that is going down if you're conceding goals like
Leicester
that.
Play well and don't get 3 points.
Yep.
It's the problem they've had all season. And they're on 19 points with 9 games to go
they're
or whatever
done,
they're
right.
done they're
absolutely
they're,
done
they're over anyways yeah I think I mean we're not gonna go we have a lot of big games this week, so we're not gonna go on the other little games. I think that's pretty much it for the Premier League. Let's move on to a pretty unique scouting report.
Sepp Blatter.
So you know what I want someone to kind of hold Sepp, put him up on a wall, and then I want to see 12 horsemen come along. And then I want to see Sepp get pushed and
okay.
crack his head.
Are the 12 horsemen his vice presidents?
Sure. I'm just making a Humpty Dumpty.
Disciples.
Disciples, yeah.
Yeah.
So upcoming fixtures in Europe. Champions League quarterfinals. We got a lot of cup game finishes coming up.
Yeah. We've got the Europa and the Champions League.
Absolutely. The draws are out. Some really big ties. Obviously, it's the quarterfinals. The top 8 teams in Europe are left.
Yeah, I mean, some pretty good ties. Bayern, Porto. Bayern favorites?
So like 16-0
yeah.
in aggregate?
Yeah.
I say that as a big fan of this Porto team, but like...
I think a good bet would be if Porto score 1. You
sure.
probably would win some money.
To be fair, Porto are a strong side.
I mean, they've got that guy. I really like him, wasn't it?
Brahim?
Yeah, Brahim.
He's great. I absolutely love it. I love this Porto team. But
no, Shane just killed me. So Porto are a strong team. I'm like, compared to Bayern Munich?
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's kind but of who is? I mean, Bayern Munich, I think, would you guys agree, are favourites for the competition?
Obviously. No.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
the competition.
I'd say joint favourites with Barcelona at this point.
Sure.
Yeah, I go along with
that. All right. So that's Bayern for us. Monaco Juve. I mean, as an Arsenal fan, I'm pretty sad about this draw, to be honest, because you get past Monaco, which you should have, now you get Juve. Like, it's all favourable draws, but
yeah.
Anyways.
Juventus finally breaking through into the latter stages, and they could very well be a semi-final team.
They should, if anything. They really should. But it's Pogba-less. Don't forget, he's out for 2 months.
He is. And is Pirlo going to be back? Because he's still out.
Right? Tevez is on fire.
He is.
Absolutely.
Really is. Tevez
on
and
fire.
Marquisio's holding down central midfield with it.
That goal against Genoa.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
and even the goal in the Champions League.
Yeah,
against who?
Genoa.
Exactly.
Oh, really?
Not, man.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, we pretty much agree that Juve is a favorite here.
Yeah,
I think there's definitely favorites. I think this will be a really good battle because I mean, we've seen that Monaco, they're not a great team, but they defend like
tactically.
Oh,
not bad, yeah.
Guys, we have Berbatov versus Tevez in this one.
Oh, old pals.
Old foes, really.
There's a score to settle over here.
Because
why?
Berbatov was a reason.
They didn't play together.
No.
Oh,
well, they were on the same. But they were one season they were together.
Yeah, okay.
But Berbatov is the reason why Tevez left, because Berbatov took Tevez's playing time.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it's a big drama all over.
Yes.
Yeah.
All over TMZ.
Yeah.
There's Barca PSG, which we've seen, I think, in the group stages here, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those.
So
Barca won at the Nou Camp 3-1. PSG won in Paris 3-2.
Yes. Wow, Bernie with a great memory there.
The annals of history.
Ibra always loves coming up against. Oh, so will Ibra's thing get turned or what?
No, he's missing the first game.
Why?
In Paris.
But,
which is where they need him the most, because they're not going to win at
the
Nou Camp.
On Twitter, there was a poster which UEFA produced about the game, and the whole thing was Ibra going back to. And it's like, you
maybe,
guys suspended him.
Maybe they know more than we do.
Know
what I'm saying?
Know what I mean? So yeah, Ibra on the weekend scored 3 goals in the French league. Bernie's dabbling back into his ice cream. but Ibra always loves coming up against Barca. I mean, special to him, I guess. It should be quite a close tie, but Barca should edge us.
I think, yes, probably. Just on the Zlatan thing, I think he probably dreams at night of coming up against Bayern in the final, scoring a hat-trick and rubbing it in Pep's face.
Yeah, literally rubbing
yeah,
it in Pep's
yeah,
face,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
On the field.
Yeah, the ball. Just rubbing the ball all over Pep Guardiola's head.
All over and around his head.
It's hard to see PSG coming off with the result because Barca are peaking at the right time. PSG are not so hot. Right,
speaking
now.
Of peaking, we forgot to mention Piqué had a great El Clasico. He was, I think,
knew
man
that
of,
was coming.
He was a man of the match. Word association, sorry.
I know.
But again, we have a repeat of the Champions League final of last year. Real Madrid, Atletico, and Ancelotti's just Real Madrid's nemesis recently. They just can't beat Atletico.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, this bizarrely looks the safest bet of the whole thing. I mean, Real just cannot beat Atletico.
So it seems Atletico should just walk over them. Well,
yeah.
Maybe 1-0 and then 0-0.
4-0.
And they take it.
4-0.
Why not 5, guys? Who has more goals to just give
Real
freely give
given up already?
I do have a feeling, though, that this is probably the time when Real show their supremacy over Atletico. I don't see it in the Champions League.
To be honest, guys, we make a lot of fun about Real not beating Atletico, but they did beat him in the most important encounter, which was the Champions League final.
Just.
They were a couple
seconds
away.
The thing is, when we put stats, not all games are equal, right? There's
weight.
No,
absolutely.
Weight,
but
yeah.
It's just, I think the thing with Atleti and Real is that it's been quite consistent that Real have, if not lost, really struggled to get a result.
Correct. So I think what I'd like to see for the last four would be Bayern, Juve, Barca, and possibly Real, just to have the strongest teams possible in the quarterfinal. And
is that the same semifinal except for one team from last year?
Yeah, Juve wasn't in it, but I think it was Barca, Bayern, Real, and Atletico? Atletico beat Barca.
Beat Chelsea.
What?
They beat Chelsea to get to the semifinals.
Oh, no, but in the quarters, I mean, how did Atletico and Real get to the finals? Atletico beat Barca, I think. Something like that. I don't remember. Bernie's memory.
I'm trying very hard.
They
did beat Barca.
They did beat Barca. Yeah, with that brilliant
shot. No, I thought
shot.
Bayern beat Barca, like 7.
No, that was a couple of seconds.
The good thing is that
Whoops.
Our listeners know more than we do, so they'll know. We don't need to know.
That's right, they did beat Barca.
It all came
yes.
back.
All right,
we should
probably then hand it over to them. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. Diego scored that howitzer.
All right,
close the thing.
Cut him off.
Fake. Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.